Hello, everyone. I'm Luis, and this is The Debrief, a podcast from Incident.io. The secret's out. The world can finally know. Incident.io On Call is here. Now, naturally, a lot of you may be wondering why and why now. So to help answer those questions, I sat down with Chris and Pete, two of our co-founders here at Incident.io, to get a bit of background on this project. What exactly went into it? What were we hoping to solve for? How are we addressing the pain points around on-call? And most importantly, how are we stacking up against the incumbents in our space? I think you're going to find this conversation really, really insightful. And not only will it get you excited about this week, it'll get you really, really pumped for what's ahead for on-call. So here it is. Here's my conversation with Chris and Pete. So we finally launched On Call. How did all of this come together? And specifically, I'm curious about what was the spark that pushed us towards building this now?
I think the sort of, flash of inspiration reaction here is like obviously not the right one. I think the honest answer is we've always wanted to build On Call. I think since the start of the company, you know, even when we were just like starting out with a side project, it was kind of like, oh, one day it'd be really, really cool to maybe take a run at On Call and paging. It feels like there's a lot of opportunity there. So it's always been at the back of our minds. I think the real thing holding us back was that we saw a huge amount of value in response and the kind of core, when something's on fire, how do you coordinate, communicate better? Like that felt like where a lot of the missing link was in incident management. So until we'd kind of fleshed that out, we didn't want to move on to anything else. And then towards the end of last year, we found that like actually we'd covered most of the core bases in that part of the product. There's obviously still a ton more we can do there, but we kind of felt like it was time to branch out into something new. And then if you pair that with customer pool, which has been pretty consistent from the start and everyone being really, really keen on an on-call product, it just felt like the right time towards the end of last year. And now 6 months later, here we are.
Yeah, I think it's like completing the vision that we had when we started this company. Yeah. So it was never be a Slack-based incident response tool. And that sort of does a disservice to the huge product that we built and originally have sort of gone to market with. But yeah, sort of on-call response status pages as the kind of platform that joins all of these things together. It was just like the obvious thing was we would do that. It was just like when, and now just felt the right time from a sort of company customer traction point of view, I think.
Yeah, it was that like, That single place you turn when things go wrong vision was what we'd always set out to do. And yeah, this is the kind of final piece of the puzzle, or the final for now piece of the puzzle, I think.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. Yeah. It's been sort of years in the planning and 6 months in the building. And yeah, can't wait to see what people make of it.
Indeed.
Yeah, and seeing the buzz internally has been really great. Everybody's like very excited. This isn't just some thing that we've been working on for a few days. Like this is a long time in the making, and like, yeah, excited to have everybody get their hands on it. But Chris, I had a question for you. I know that you've spoken at length about your experience being on call, particularly around some of the shortcomings around it with the incumbents in the space. One thing that I'd love to know is just like, could you talk through some of the experiences that you've had being on call and how we're addressing some of the pains that you felt in the product that we have now launched?
Yeah, good question. I think I'm probably quite fortunate from sort of like sampling friends who've been on call. I'm quite fortunate in that I actually haven't had particularly bad experiences of being on call. It's always been a pretty well-organized, pretty structured. That, to be clear, that does not mean I haven't had bad incidents. I've had horrendous incidents, but the actual sort of process around on call has not been terrible. But, and it's a big but, it hasn't been terrible because I've worked with phenomenal people. A lot of what I have done has existed outside of the software that's existed in the space. So a great example is like, you know, common pain point around getting overrides, for example, right? So I have two kids. It's quite frequent that I would have been on call at a weekend, but I would also have to go and take my kids to football or something like that. And even just something as trivial as that, the process of doing that historically has always been, I have a separate sort of WhatsApp or iMessage group that sits off at the side. I have to go and talk to other people who are on my rotas and schedule and be like, hey, can someone take my shift for 2 hours on a Saturday? And then they go, yep, that's all great. Can you put the override in? And so I'm like, yep, well, I'll go back in and I'll use the app or boot my laptop up to go and like set the override. And I'm like, that is just like endless friction. And what that actually meant in practice was very, very often I just didn't do that. I was just like, oh, I'll just bring my laptop in a bag and sort of hope for the best. And I think that is sort of my experience of what on-call has been like, sort of extrapolated out into all the other different things that have to happen there. So it's like, I have set up a team and I want to onboard new people to be on call. Well, the best way to do that is to set up a shadow rotation. And that's really hard with current providers. And you end up like hacking together like multiple schedules sort of joined in an escalation policy. And then you go, cool, but what I actually want is a shadow roto who has no one on call, but then they can sort of selectively go, well, I'll take a few hours here and a few hours there. And then you end up creating dummy users in various different tools, all different things going on there. Basically, it's just really hard. And I think that has been my experience, is like the process has been good, it's been organized, but the tool has not been the thing that's helped to do it.
I think that's actually a really great segue. Like, it seems like right now, all of the very sensible things that people want to do are basically impossible or are very hacky. And I'm wondering, how are we bringing a fresh perspective here? Like, how are we ensuring that we aren't releasing another on-call product that feels very static and sort of stuck behind the status quo?
Yeah, I think to the credit of like the people who've come before us, I think they have got a lot of things right, if I'm very honest. So, you know, if you're setting up an on-call team, what do you need? You need a schedule, a way to say who's on call at what times. You need things like escalation paths. So this is like, if I can't get hold of the person on the schedule, who do I go to next? You need a way to get alerts into a system. Like, all of those foundations are the kinds of things that are in our on-call product. So like, not going to, you know, set the world on fire there with like exciting new functionality, like just meets the bar that you expect. What I think is markedly different in our on-call product is, one, it is sort of built this century, so it feels like genuinely nice to use. So, you know, 2 a.m. is not the time when you want to be working around a awkward UX and sort of unfamiliar sort of like design and all that sort of stuff. Like, built really nicely. That comes from, you know, the mobile app that we've got, which is honestly like wonderful to use. Like, have been using that. Like, I'm not currently actually on call aside from like level twos here.
I think mine says you're on call forever.
Yeah.
Because at the moment I'm sort of escalatable to you for the entirety of launch month. And so yeah, that's my
forever. Exactly. Same as me for like a second line.
I think founders basically are always on call, in fact.
Yes. Yeah, like it or not.
Yeah.
But I've been using the mobile app now as someone who's not on call, and it's like my entry point to be able to see what's going on the fly. So I can very quickly sort of get SMS messages through the product, the main product we have, that tell me something's going on, or I can get push notifications and I can jump in and be like, hey, what's going on in here? And sort of jump straight into Slack from there if I want to. So mobile app is wonderful. I think then the stuff that we have layered on is all of the features that, like, if you speak to any person who is using existing provider, there is like the same repeating set of things they want to be able to do. So multiple people on call at once, shadow rotations, overrides where you basically tell the system what you want and the system goes and figures out who on the team can cover it. Things like even simple things like synchronizing a Slack group with the person who's on call so that everyone who's in the organization, when they want to interface and get hold of the person on call, maybe they don't want to page them. They just want to be able to at them on Slack and say, at platform team on caller. Like, people are writing software to do this stuff. And the same for things like on-call compensation. So a lot of companies, certainly in Europe, end up paying people to be on call.
Yeah.
And like, I have written like three separate companies that really script that goes and pulls like, you know, all of the schedules and the overrides.
I think I've been paid by your script.
You will have done, last job, exactly. and it's like, it's just ridiculous that people are sort of not getting these absolute basics. So will you see, you know, the equivalent of 10 years worth of investment in an incumbent has in terms of like integration space? Maybe not right now, but what you will get is the ability to integrate any of your alert sources, because we're very flexible there, and a bunch of the features that I honestly think you're going to care about and your teams are going to care about and are going to make you run healthier on call rotations where people are actually wanting to join and sort of see it as a benefit.
Yeah. I think the other thing is that the industry has shifted its mindset on call as well. It's kind of from the early days of, you know, there's one person holding the pager, or maybe there's a group of like four people that prop up the entire company. Mm-hmm. I think more and more companies are, you know, you build it, you own it, and pushing more people on call, and also maybe adopting on call models outside of engineering as well. So maybe like data teams are like adopting some of this stuff I've seen, and like, you know, maybe your marketing team has that because they run the website. Mm-hmm. And so you've sort of got these on-call practices bleeding out of a very tiny group of people into a very large group of people. And I think, you know, when you do that, the sort of frameworks and structures around on-call need to change. The language you use probably needs to change a little bit. The user interfaces need to change. Like, everyone expects a very different product now to hyper-technical, super deep, like, you know, platform users of maybe like 10 years ago. So I think that's like another moving part that we have sort of built for from day one, which it feels pretty good.
I think maybe the best example of that from within Incident.io is like the CS team, so our customer success team, who sort of manage all of the customer interactions, or most of the customer interactions, but also all of the sort of like support and inbound from that side of things. They weren't asked to, they weren't told to. I came in one day and they were like, we've set up a schedule with like...
We've onboarded ourselves.
Yeah, four simultaneous rotations of like overlapping...
Follow the sun.
Yeah, so like, but what's really interesting is like follow the sun, but like overlaps, because we can resolve to multiple different layers at the same time, where previous people are like, you have one person on call. And it's like, they're just like, this is great. We can use this now. Yeah. I can see how this is helpful. So I think tons of useful and interesting things coming out of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's just like, that speaks to just how intuitive the product is. You have people on CS who may not be accustomed to using an on-call product, just going in and saying, hey, look, we set up a schedule, and it probably only took us a few minutes, and like we knew exactly what the buttons that we needed to click to get it done. So I think that's great, and really highlights like how companies can find value for this, not just on their engineering teams, but beyond, on teams like CS. But Chris, you actually mentioned incumbents just a few minutes ago. How much of a factor were they throughout this process? And were they ever a deterrent in this product build?
I mean, how much did they factor into the process? I think not at all. As I said, like from day one, we always knew what we were building with this company. This is sort of like the final of a sort of three scene, you know, play, I think, a drama going on here, which was like, we just knew that this was the crowning thing. And we deliberately shipped it at the time we've shipped it, because like, honestly, it's like the most technologically challenging product piece that we could have built, right? This is like ultra high reliability, no time for any kind of a you know, downtime, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like you're using it under high stress as well. Yeah. Like, you know, forgiveness is going to be near zero for any, you know, mess ups on the product side or any experiences that are subpar. It's like, yeah, the bar is high, or the highest it has been probably in the product since any other part of it that we've shipped.
Yeah, so it was a case of, I think, wait until we had a good team and support structure to be able to tackle it. So it was sort of never really factored in the incumbents from sort of, you know, when would we do it, that side of things. It wasn't like wait until, you know, something happened there or whatever. I think when it comes to like what we built, also sort of didn't really find ourselves looking left and right at incumbents in that time either. It's like, I think when you look at, essentially, if you talk to any customer who is using an incumbent paging solution and you go to them, like, how do you like it? They will, I guarantee the sentence they'll go with is something like this, like, it costs far too much money for the value I get from it. Here are the five like things that would just be like quality of life improvements that would be really, really helpful to have in place. But it's super reliable and it doesn't go wrong. And you'll get that same sentence basically from everyone. And it's always punctuated with, it's super reliable, it would never go wrong. And so I think for us, that is the key thing here, right? We know we can solve all of the product challenges there. And we were waiting until we had the sort of the team, the expertise in-house to think about platform, to think about security, to think about scaling, to think about design. We needed to have all those things in place so that we could really tackle that last one of reliability and experience there.
Yeah, I think it's a credit to the incumbents as well, right? In that, like, we've used a bunch of different products each over the course of our careers. And like, in general, like, they've done what they said they would do. Like, I've been woken up every time. I've never kind of gone, well, my entire company was hemorrhaging cash while I was asleep or anything like that. I think like on that like functional angle, like, you know, win for them, they've definitely delivered. I think the bit that's missing is everything else that we've talked about. It's kind of, you know, that's where I really feel like the ball's been dropped or the gap's been opened up. And I think, you know, to me, on-call is very much kind of, it's a necessary part of running good incidents and having good incident management culture, but it is a sort of a component of it or a feature of it, as opposed to, you know, the entire problem space. And so I think it's kind of a natural addition to our product as opposed to like a massive thing in and of itself. I think the incumbents found a problem, but not the problem, is kind of how I look at it.
This is on-call as it should be. If you want to learn more about Incident IO On Call, head to incident.io/on-call for more information.
What goes through your minds when releasing a product of this magnitude? I think the last time we spoke was right before the end of the year. We had a sort of year-end review episode. And in that episode, we talked about like pinch me moments. I think it's fair to say that this launch is one of those, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
I'll go first.
I think this is the biggest pinch me moment. If I look at the products we released so far, right? We released Response, and that was like net new software for most people. And mm-hmm. So it was like, hey, an idea that we had at a previous company turned into a company. People really want it. We sort of had that pull. That was great. Status Pages, I look at that and I'm like, that's awesome. That product is amazing. We've seen some insane companies honestly pick that up. I'm just like hugely, hugely grateful that we've had such good traction with that. But when I look at On Call, this is like software I have used and I have had such visceral emotions towards over the last like 15 years of sort of working in software. And so, and also like these are companies, like I really do want to like credit the companies that have come before, right? Because these are companies that have built software that has endured that time, right? It has been reliable. It has been sort of in many cases the only piece of software, but it has been a good piece of software in terms of it's like, you know, every time you get to a new company and they don't have an on-call setup, like to be able to go, that's the one I will use has been great, right? But to be in a position now where we get to sort of have a seat at the table and be a very, very viable, sensible, reliable choice that people could go to that solves a bunch of problems that like I know that so many companies have, that is just like a phenomenal privilege to be in a position where we can go and have such, like we have an engineering team of like, how big, like 20, 30 25 people,
now, yeah.
25 people who are now helping build what we think is like the very, very best way for company, like incredible companies, like amazing companies that like my mum has heard of will be relying on our software to wake them up. And like, so that for me is a hugely sort of pinch me moment.
Yeah, not a huge amount to add to what Chris said, to be honest. I think pinch me moments, yes, this is absolutely one of them. I think it's one of the biggest product launches, if not the biggest product launch that I've been involved in my career as well, which is really cool to A, be doing that. It's just fun to have a first like that, where it's something of this magnitude. And then second, be doing it for a company that, you know, I co-founded with Stephen and Chris. I think it's really, really cool. When it's like, you know, you're in the driving seat and you're about to go take a leap into the unknown. It kind of reminds me of when we hit publish on the website for the first time for the first version of the first, you know, stance of the product. And it's kind of like doing that all over again. But now with a, you know, an awesome team, like 80 strong at your back, and like skills that honestly just like absolutely put mine to shame and stuff like that. You know, you go to the design team and you go, I'm thinking this, and they go, well, that's rubbish. What about this? And you're like, oh my God, yeah, that is what I wanted. And having that times design, data, product, engineering, CS, sales is like, yeah, it's a lot more fun launching products with many people behind you versus doing it from your bedroom in COVID.
That is fun is not the word. I'm not normally like openly nice to Pete or sort of, you know, don't normally congratulate him in public. I think launching a product of this magnitude is just a phenomenally large undertaking. I don't think until you sort of see the effort that goes in behind the scenes to do this well, like Pete doesn't look like he's been having fun all of the time, but it has been well orchestrated so far. I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Let's put it that way. I only have about 40 things left on my to-do list between now and whatever it is. It's 20 hours to go. I mean, as evidenced by the fact that we are doing this podcast like less than 24 hours before we launch it, we have been quite busy.
I'm waiting for the before and after photo of Pete's hair. It's like, this is a pre-launch and this will be postable.
I've been so busy. I tried to get a haircut in the other day and I had like a meeting booked over it. So I just, I look like a Yeti. But this is evidence of my sacrifice for Uncle. And this is evidence of Chris's sacrifice for the previous product launch.
One thing that Pete, you just got me thinking, are the pressures different when launching a product as a founder versus launching a product as like an IC or a manager?
Yeah, I think so. The obvious one is that, you know, very much, you know, your company is like your baby, right? And so
of course,
the pressure is kind of, you know, it's not that someone else is calling the shots and, you know, someone else is making all the like high level decisions and I'm doing my best to execute, but ultimately it's on someone else's vision. Like, this is our vision. And obviously the team share it. I'm not like claiming it as just mine, even though the flame above my head does make me look like I've had a fantastic idea. But yeah, it's like a shared vision, but it's kind of, the pressure is massive because you've told the company this is where you're going, right? Like, we've made the stance to throw all of our resources at this. We've made the stance to hire people for this. Like, you know, folks joined the company to do this. And you really want it to work, right? It's like 6 months of hard work off the back of us saying, right, team, like, let's go do this. Like, if it falls flat on its face, that's on me. And yeah. Chris and Stephen, just to be clear, the blame is 100% shared between the three of us. It's like, yeah, the pressure there is huge because you've pointed everyone at this thing. And yeah, I think it's sort of, you know, you say to your team, we're going this way, trust me. And this is how it's going to go as to the best of my ability. And I think that is very different. Like, being a leader in a business, you do a bit of that for sure. Like, if you're a, I don't know, VP running a 100-person team or something like that, you'd definitely have similar levels of responsibility. But I think ultimately when you've got your company, your team's sort of, you know, careers, experiences, and sort of hard work riding on this, it does make a difference. You feel very responsible.
Obviously, on call, very high stakes. If your on call product doesn't work, that's costing a lot of companies a lot of dollars. How have we accounted for this? Like, how are we ensuring that the on-call product that we're shipping is as reliable as everyone is used to the incumbents being?
I think we can probably cover this in like a few different ways. I think like the first is like, we know this, right? This is not news to us. Our customers tell us this. It's the number one thing that a lot of the incumbents will sort of, you know, wear proudly on their chest. It's like, you know, look how reliable we are. So we know we're going up against that as a really, really reliable reference point. I think, you know, to counter that, we put in a huge amount of work as a result, right? So the team have not just built a shiny thing, they've built an incredibly resilient thing, and they've spent a huge amount of time testing that. So the last month, 2 months, they've just been doing drills, game days, trying to knock this thing over and kind of test it themselves. We've done traffic spikes, we've kind of load tested it to the eyeballs, we've tried to break it from a UX perspective. The team even just today did like 2 full runs of the product from end to end, from the moment you sign up to the moment you're kind of, you know, getting paged, to try and iron out any of those last minute little niggles that come in on the product and UX side. And so yeah, we've put a huge amount of work in sort of behind the scenes, and hopefully, you know, that's going to be evidence. We're also going to talk about a lot of that, which I'm really excited by. I think, you know, just opening up the lid a little bit to share with everyone, you know, yeah, I mean, we can say trust us, but like, you know, why don't we just explain?
Yeah, look at this Heroku Dino singleton we've got running.
We have 3 dinos now.
I do.
So no, to be clear, we do not have like 3 instances of the app running. We have a lot more mature things than that. But yeah, I don't know if there's any reflections from you, Chris. You basically did this as a job at previous companies of like, I mean, making things stay up.
So. Yeah, I think former life, this would have been my absolute jam, getting involved on this stuff. On this product, been very distant from the details, I guess. But I have put my oar in an awful lot with people on your team of like, have you done this? Have you thought about this? What happens if this happens? I reckon everyone's going to do this. Like,
you're a good litmus test of like, have we tested all the things? It's like, just Chris, is Chris worried?
Yeah,
Chris
yeah. Worried? And yeah, no, I'd be very honest, right? You can put all of the work in and you can lay all of the best plans and all of that side of things. And ultimately the proof is in the sort of results. And do I think we will have no incidents with this thing? No. I don't think any company releasing any new product can confidently say they won't have incidents. But do I think we are well prepared and have put in all of the hard work now to be in the best possible position to launch a product like this? I think yes. I feel incredibly confident. And it's like my ultimate litmus test is like, if I delayed a month, do I think it would get materially more reliable? And I'm like, no, we're at the point now where we have done every sort of I is dotted, every T is crossed. It is as reliable as we can make it without real world, you know, having contact with it.
Yeah, I just think, you know, the most reliable software is software that doesn't change. And it's, you know, if you're a large incumbent, not changing very much, it is easier to never go down and to be incredibly reliable and never have any bugs. If that's what you want to buy, I think go for it. Honestly, if what you want to buy is something that's moving 100 miles an hour in the right direction towards like what the future of the space looks like, with pretty solid guarantees, honestly, and a pretty hot team behind it, Like I, you know, I'd bet on us.
Worth saying too, we are putting our money where our mouth is. So we have SLAs on this, yes, kind of thing. This is this is not a kind of like, hey, trust us, we're a great engineering team. It's like we will provide like matched SLAs to the incumbents in the space. So I'm super confident.
Yeah, it's also, you know, one of the things that a lot of our customers appreciate about us already, which is, you know, we don't promise that things won't go wrong, but we do promise we will address them incredibly quickly. We're on it within, you know, minutes, usually fixed within, you know, not long after that. And that's one of the things that I feel very, very proud of with the engineering team and the just the company that we've built is our comms. Unsurprisingly, our incident response is pretty solid. And so it's kind of like, yes, if we do have a bug, obviously we will fix it. And I think the same is not true necessarily of everyone else in the space where, you know, you'll be lucky to get something fixed or get a feature built in like a year in many cases. Whereas like, you know, we're literally right now with our beta customers, design partners, turning around, you know, I think our sort of daily change log has maybe like 30 things in it a day at the moment where we're fixing things for customers, or more often than not at the moment, like polishing things or adding extra things that they've asked for, which feels really, really good.
Speaking of design partners, what has that early feedback been like from them?
I think super valuable. I think, I mean, I wish like Megan was here. She's the PM that's been behind a lot of this, but she's been, you know, working tirelessly with all of our beta customers and design partners. And I think funneling all of that feedback into, you know, internal Slack channels and the team. And I think, you know, broadly, there's kind of two categories of feedback. I think one is, you know, excitement, honestly, which is really, really awesome to hear. It's kind of people going, oh my goodness, I'm so excited for you guys to tackle this. I can't wait to see what, you know, you launch. I'm super excited to use it. I can't wait to get my whole team on it. We had three people competing to be the first customer of OnCall. Michael at Bud, congratulations. You take the first place spot there. But yeah, and like that's really, really cool, right? That excitement, that kind of engagement from customers of going like, I really want this and I think you're the team to do it. That feels great. And then the other is obviously feedback that helps shape the product. Kind of Chris touched on some of that already, but you know, that early feedback of what are their main pain points? What are the things that, you know, if you say, imagine we could, you know, build all your hopes and dreams, what would that look like? And them being very candid, very frank, very honest and saying, look, here's how it works right now. Here's how I wish it worked. Like that's been hugely influential. And I think that's the whole point of design partners and beta customers, right? Is to get that feedback. And it's, you know, if you want to see what that looks like in practice, it's, you know, baked into the app. And if you're watching this, you can probably go get it now.
What a sales champ. I love it. My favorite bit of feedback on this stuff. So there's a customer that we're working with who their customer support team were using a previous provider to sort of manage like escalation comms if they needed to sort of get hold of people. And they had, I think, something like eight or 10 or 12 schedules that they needed to run their thing. And we were like, hey, you know that you could have those all sort of collapse. So we have this thing in Incident.io where we will allow a schedule can have multiple rotors in it. So sort of multiple layers. And what happens in the previous providers is you can do that, but they all collapse down to one final layer. So like one person can be on call on a schedule. In the way that we've modeled things, you can have multiple people on call at the same time. So whether that's like a team that says we want to have two people parallel on call, or a team will set up shadow, or a CS team that has like, you know, 10 potential people at different sort of times, and in sort of overlapping is the complex bit there, all resolving. And they were like, oh my gosh, I can manage this stuff in one place now. And I think for me, that is like the tip of the iceberg on what we're going to be doing with this, which is like, we've built such a strong foundation. When we come out of the gates, it is not like revolutionizing the whole of OnCall, but that foundation is there. Everything is there. It's reliable. There is a bunch of really nice stuff. And the list of things that we are going to be cranking through over the next 3-6 months to really up level the whole experience is honestly excited. I had to refrain from swearing, but I'm very excited, Luis.
Yeah, you're doing better than me. Yeah, big plus one on that. I think it's super exciting to launch the stuff that we've already built. It is the bit that I'm most excited about. I was saying this to the team this morning in their kind of stand up was, I'm so excited to build stuff in public now. So we've been keeping this like under wraps, and oh my god, the stuff we've got planned in OnCall is just like amazing, and we are now going to be able to talk about it and ship it at 100 miles an hour in public, and that just feels so, so good. Some of the things they've got planned are just like, we have literally a list called Delight, and it is an extremely long list, and I can't wait to ship it all.
100%.
Yeah. So obviously we've built an on-call product, but that product doesn't exist in isolation. We have a response product that's our sort of bread and butter. And more recently, we created status pages to keep everybody on the loop, keep everybody on the same page. How do we envision all three of those working together? And like, really, what's our grand vision for our product suite, I guess you can call it at this point?
Yeah, I think the grand vision for, like, as I said, sort of like the first sort of complete version of the incident management platform that we sort of set out to build is this one, right? So those three products exist together. Now, there's like a ton of ways in which having those things together makes a lot of sense. But I think if you look at, first of all, how things work today, right, which is most companies will use a paging piece of software, right? And what it does is they plug all their alerts into that, which is like a load of information, useful data, into a thing. That sort of machine of there sort of looks at schedules and goes, hey, I'm going to get hold of Pete and I'm going to page him. Pete is then the sort of human glue that then goes, cool, well, I'm going to go and create an incident thing over here. And so whether they're using, you know, a home-built solution or they're super smart and they've chosen something like incident IO response.
There he is.
Yeah, there you go. So like you jump into your response mode, right? And you lose all of that context. And so like, cool, that's like hard division there, right? You've sort of lost any sort of, you know, what alerts are firing and like what's the context that happens there. And I think it's those sorts of interactions on the boundaries of these pieces of software which make things really hard. And like to sort of play out that example there, right? Imagine a world where an alert fires and your phone tells you about it and you're like, great. And from your phone, you jump seamlessly straight into an incident that's already been created for you, right? But then it's better than that, because what we can do is we can say, well, last time this alert fired, Sarah in the, you know, platform team took these actions, right? And then we can sort of provide that summary because we have, you know, an AI foundation within the product, which can sort of do some like clear understanding of previous, you know, and summary of previous incidents. And so you can go, well, last time this happened, Sarah went in and she ran this runbook and she rebooted this node of the cluster and that sort of fixed things. And so you've immediately got like an up leveling there that these things joined together are materially better than two independent pieces of software. The same is true of just like looking at alerts to the signal you get from incidents in general, right? So many teams struggle with alert fatigue, right? Which is, I turn on an alert because I ship a thing and it's so easy to go, well, I think all of these scenarios are the ones that I care about. I'll configure these 20 different alerts. It's going to be great. I'll know about everything. Fast forward 3 months and you're like, why the hell did I add all of those?
The classic Steven saying, like the time where he just threw his phone across the room because it wouldn't stop like going off.
And everyone does it. And it's well-intentioned and it's sensible and it is the process, right? But the process is broken because there is no structured sort of systematic way to get those feedback loops and go, how many of my alerts are firing, waking someone up, and then I'm not taking action? So in incident IO, that would look like how many alerts are being created, creating an incident in triage mode, but the person jumps in and goes, this is not a thing, decline that incident, back to sleep. Like all of that kind of thing is where I think the platform over point solutions is going to be like a material uplift for most companies. And I could go on and on. It's like, imagine being able to think about public comms and putting a status page up right from the place where you're communicating. And I can sort of, as an engineer, I can say, hey, I think this is the sort of right framing for public comms. But before I hit go, it will go through like a comms approval flow. And your head of PR is the person who is the only one who can release that. Like, That stuff you just can't easily do if you're like, let's hop between solution and solution and solution.
Yeah. So, well, you're dependent on, you know, multiple providers working super closely together to build that stuff. And it's like, they don't have the incentive to do that. And ultimately everyone's going to build towards the same direction as us. I just think we're sort of forging ahead a little bit more. You can also, like, the other thing that I think is really, really cool is often it's like a linear journey, right? Of like, get page, respond to incident, update status page, you know, do a really, really awesome post-incident process. And yes, we do all of that. But you can also start to play with like how these products can help each other. So for example, like one of the really nice things the team built recently was like, we have status pages. And because we own your status page, we also know exactly what the traffic looks like on your status page. And when you have an incident, that traffic spikes. And so we can kind of know what's normal and what's not normal. And we can calibrate that on when you're having incidents. And we know even which components like are affected and how that affects your traffic. And so we can do some really cool stuff where now we have paging, you can connect those two together. So actually one of the alert sources you get out of the box if you buy Instant IO is your status page can be easily hooked into your on-call product. And now when you get a massive sort of abnormal spike on your status page, we will page you. And it's kind of like, how would you do that outside of a product where it's all on a single platform? Like, I don't know. And who would have the incentive to do that? Because like, it's not any of the providers that I've used in the past. Whereas like for us, it's like, yeah, it's a no-brainer. You use all three. Why would we not want you to have an experience like that? That is one we did for fun. Imagine what we can do in the next like 6 to 12 months. It's just like, yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great segue to my last question. What's your parting message to folks who are going to sign up for OnCall? Chris, let's start with you.
Maybe I'll answer this as like, why would people not want to sign up? It's just like the classic politicians answer the negative. There is a great deal of inertia to overcome, right? Engineering teams are always busy. They're never sitting around with sort of nothing to do. And if you have a thing that works, then why move to a new provider? The things that I would say there is, one, that when you see this product and you use this product, you will see that it is a sort of force multiplier for an engineering team. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of, and like, you know, biases aside, but I genuinely believe that if you have a really great product able to sort of be in your corner when something goes wrong, it does not take many sort of like incremental improvements at different points in that journey for the net result to be that you have either a more incentivized and softer landing place for people to want to join on call. That's helpful for engineering organizations, or right down to the simple things like you get to have things at your fingertips that makes you a little bit quicker, and that literally translates into dollars. So I think it is like well worth taking a look at this product, even if you are, you know, happy with your current paging provider. And I think I'd be surprised if you don't look at it and go, this is at least worth a proper look.
Yeah, I think my party message, I think I put on my sort of product hat a little bit here, which is sort of, we are not done. We are just getting started, which sounds very cliche, but it's like the work that the team have done up to this point, absolutely amazing. The work that we have planned, honestly, like even better. And I think for everyone that is currently on call and using like one of the existing products in the market, you probably feel a lot of the pain points that we solve, and you have an opportunity to be a part of the product that solves those pain points for everyone else. And we listen to feedback, we listen to our customers, we build things at 100 miles an hour, and you know, we have so much yet left to build. And I think that would be my message, is like, come on board, give us the feedback, let's get it done.